Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezovic here with you. One more hour before we say goodbye to Michelle, as she's
tugging at the heartstrings, bigger
and better things, great things. I think we have one more special guest that wants to say goodbye to Michelle at the bottom of the hour. But right now, discussing Kevin Byard, went on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast. By the way, I was cracking up on social media yesterday. So I guess Taylor Lewan, Will Compton had like a beer Olympics.
Oh, I mean, it was all over.
I was crying at, like, some of the, like, I think James Neal was there.
Yeah, he got, like, thrown out of one of the events, which is funny.
Was he flopping?
No, he was trying to sabotage from what I saw.
Corey Levin and somebody else were a team. I can't think of who was his partner. But, I mean, yeah, Kittle was there.
Yeah, I mean, they had a who's who.
They
definitely had a who's who. But I was laughing. They were body slamming people into the pool and all that stuff. But anyway, so Kevin Byard went on and obviously opened up about a lot of different things with his situation, being asked to take a pay cut. And there were a few different clips that stood out to me. But he did address, Jared Stillman did have the original report that he was asked to take a pay cut and then subsequently asked for his release. Kevin addressed all of that.
When I was in Cabo and that thing happened in March, like, the conversation between the team, my agency, it happened like a month ago.
Yeah.
And so, like, I kind of already knew the situation, you know what I'm saying? So when I was on the beach, literally with my wife, kids are in, you know, playing in the sand. I'm just kind of sitting back and, like, I really wasn't paying attention to my phone, but, like, he would start texting my phone and, like, somebody was doing a radio show. I don't know who it was here in Nashville was like, okay, KB asked for a trade or asked to be released or something like that. It probably was. He probably was the leak. Might be the source.
Yeah, it's the leak.
So,
just build it up even more. KB wants
like,
out.
Bro, yeah. Like, and it was just weird because I'm like, how does this come out? Because I'm obviously not talking to anybody and anything like that. So, that was just weird. And like you say, you reached out to me, but I don't know. I just think like the whole situation where I just kind of felt like it was for me personally, like silence is golden. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I just had to kind of go dark for a little bit just because the simple fact is that, you know, it's very easy to get your emotions involved. You know what I'm saying? Obviously when my agent told me, you know, obviously he had a conversation with the team and kind of reported back to me about everything. It was very easy to be emotional because I'd be lying if I didn't say I felt the way about it. You know what I'm saying? I'd be lying if I said that I didn't like, what? They asked for what? You know what I'm saying? So, but at the same time, like, there's no, like, you can't be emotional in business.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just being real, like, you make an emotional decision within your business, more than likely it's going to be bad business. You know what I'm saying? So I had to find a way to make sure that, you know, just to compartmentalize everything and just kind of keep my emotions out of it when I'm making these different decisions and stuff like that. So, yeah, man, it was, you know, it happened, you know what I mean? And I think we're in a good place right now.
That was Kevin Byard, Bussin' with the Boys podcast, kind of addressing the whole report, everything out there. So here's what I think, and I have thought this since the beginning. You know, I know what Jared had reported. I never really thought that he went into Rand Carthon's office and demanded his release and all of that stuff. What I think probably happened was he was asked to take the pay cut. He said no. And at some point in time, either he or his agent made the comment of, look, we're not taking the pay cut. If you release him, release him. Or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. That makes the most sense. And so sometimes when stuff like that happens, then somebody hears it and it gets out and – you know, it's the game of telephone. Like, you tell one person, you tell another person, and it kind of gets mixed up along the way. That's kind of how I think it went down. But the thing I do believe is what he said at the very end of, you know, we're in a good place now. He came to minicamp. He had told them that he had, and he says this later in the podcast, that he had never planned to go to OTAs, that he had planned to take the year, you know, the year off on OTAs, and that everything is good now to this point.
Yeah, I mean, when I hear that and I hear him just being candid with on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast, and I know people, you can think however you want about the podcast, but I personally love listening to it when a guy like Kevin Byard goes on, because you know it's a laid back conversation and he's going to be real with you and he's going to be open with you. And he was about a lot of different topics. And I think that, you know, when you hear him, I'm not surprised. We were saying this from the jump that he has every right to be offended and be like, you're looking at me. But he also went on to explain and say, you know, I restructured my contract twice under John Robinson because we were in a go for it mode. So when a new GM comes in and sees my cap number, like he went through and explained all of this. And he said, you know, when a new GM comes in and sees my cap number, they're going to raise their eyebrows and be like, why is he getting paid that much? These are all things that we've talked about before. Why is the safety's cap number that big? But when you know actually behind the scenes, oh, he was restructured X amount of times, you know, his locker room presence, all of this, of course, Kevin Byard is going to be offended when, you know, somebody asks or he's asked to take a pay cut just because of everything that he gives to this team. And I agree with you, Chase. I think something got lost in translation. And when all of these conversations were being had, it was, okay, well, I'm not taking the pay cut. You do, like, if you want to release me, okay, fine. If you want to trade me, okay, fine. Sure. But I'm not taking a pay cut. You do with whatever you want to do with that, but just know I will be getting paid this, and I'm not taking a pay cut. I can see how that could be caught up in a telephone conversation of, oh, he's asking to be released. No. And Kevin Byard also went on in the podcast to say, you know, usually when a player says, no, I'm not taking a pay cut, there are actions then made by the team.
Right.
And that, I believe, is how kind of this got kind of confused. But I will say Joe Rexroad asked him point blank when he spoke to the media, and he didn't comment on it, and he pled the fifth. So, yeah. I mean, we'll never probably know the true answer.
No, and honestly, I don't know if we have to at this point. Like, if he's the same player that he's always been and the same person that he's always been, and, you know, he does his job, then – at the end of the day, I guess it doesn't really matter.
No, it doesn't. Because at the end of the day, it's business. And as he said in that quote, you can't let your emotions get caught up in contract negotiations. And that's why so often we talk about you got to have an agent, right? With the Lamar Jackson situation, it was clear his emotions got caught up in it with the tweeting and everything about, like that. This is why you have an agent to handle your business. But I am interested to know who was the rat and who got this out, because it didn't come out till about a month later.
Yeah. I mean, look, that's going to happen. There are going to be leaks in your organization.
Who is the rat?
But that is kind of what happens sometimes. There's more with Kevin Byard on, it also came up about a potential contract extension, you know, how he looked at that. Well, you'll hear from him more on that next. It's Chase and Michelle. We're live at Bridgestone Arena today for the NHL draft. We'll get more into the draft later in the show here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
I ended last year and was like, you know, talking to my agent, like, bro, like, I'm going to get extension. Like, I want to be here. But, you know, I did the clean out day and the media and everything. And I'm like, bro, like, I don't want to play for another organization. Like, this is my legacy. I love it here in Nashville. And so, you know, I have a conversation with my agent at the end of the season, like, because I kind of know, like, I'm a very business savvy person. I'm kind of smart. Like, I understand that, and I feel like we can pivot after this, but, like, kind of talking about John, and John was trying to sell out as much as he could to build a championship team. And so, for myself, like, I restructured my contract twice. The first time, I think, was to sign Clowney, and the second time was, I think, after I went all pro or something like that. Restructured again. It might have been to sign Robert. It was something like that.
Yeah.
Because, like, you're trying to bring on talent, so you're trying to, you know, create cap space. But what that does is what most people don't realize, and what it does is it increases your cap hit later in the life of your contract. So that's a situation where, like you said, you get a new GM that comes in. He just looks at this sheet and just like, man, I have, like, for example, you know, obviously you got released. Mm-hmm. Ben Jones got released. Bud got released. He's looking like, okay, the roster's a little bit weird. We're a little bit older now.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I got to clear cap space. I got to clear cap space from anywhere. And so, like I said, I mean, that was my idea of going into the conversation. So when my agent called me, he was like, hey, it kind of went another way. So, like, obviously I wasn't in the room, so I don't really know exactly how, like, was it a situation where it's like, hey, we want to do extension. They just went the complete opposite way.
That's Kevin Byard on the Bustin' with the Boys podcast talking about his whole situation with the Titans, where he is now. And I found that to be interesting that, you know, he referenced the restructuring that he did twice. And I think the second time was for Julio.
Oh, I think it was Landry.
Oh, was it Landry?
Yeah.
To make room for that.
So, when he got the big contract right after 2021.
So, I mean, I get it from his point of view, but at the same time, and this I think is both a good thing and a bad thing, and I said this when Rand Carthon was hired, he has no connections. Nope. So he's going to come in, and as Kevin put it, it is a sheet of paper, and it's like, okay, you know, the previous GM signed some of these contracts. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. I gotta get the cap in order, and then we kind of start over. And that's how he looked at it. And again, in some ways that's good, and in some ways that's bad. We can sit here and we can say, look, man, talking to Rand, like, you got to understand what Kevin Byard has meant to this organization. You got to understand what he's meant to this city, what he's meant to Murfreesboro. And you don't know that. We're here to tell you that, but that is important. His job, Rand Carthon's job, is not to care about that. And so that's where it makes it really tough. Now, I think he's kind of learned. I don't think he particularly handled it correctly. Mm-hmm. It's a learning lesson. And again, according to Kevin Byard, it feels like things are back where they need to be. Now, I don't know if they're going to give him a contract extension. You know, as much as Kevin wants to finish his career here and stay here, I don't know if that's going to be in the cards. I would love for it to be.
Sure.
But at the same time, you know, Rand does have to look at it from the business sense of the position that he plays and the age and all those things.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think if you look at Kevin Byard, and if I'm not mistaken, I think his contract's up in 2025. He has one more year than Tannehill and Henry, who's are up this year. I mean, if you look at Kevin Byard, I don't think you're going to see, you know, him get a contract extension right now. I think he kind of alluded to that he didn't really know what was happening in the meetings with him, with the agent and the team. But I guess we can infer that, you know, that wasn't an option to extend him and kind of push some of the money down the line. But, I mean, if he performs these next 2 years and he's getting into his mid-30s, would he do, you know, maybe a couple one-year deals, right? A one-year low-cost or a two-year, you know, low-cost deal or something like that if he wants to continue his career here. But I can understand from the Titans' perspective of we're only going to do it if he's still performing at the level he is performing at. And do we see a drop-off soon? I don't know. I mean, he's been a guy who's played every single game. He's the epitome of being available. Your best ability is your availability for this team. I think... And I can relate this to the Predator situation, too, because it's weird that the Titans and the Preds are in very, very similar situations in getting new GMs this year.
Yeah.
But on the Predator side, you know, we're looking at it from a really unique positive perspective of being able to get off Matias Ekholm, Mikael Granlund, even Ryan Johansson's as of recent, getting off some of those bigger contracts, gaining draft capital. So now that Barry Trotz and David Poyle can work with that to kind of turn the page. Whereas if you look at the Tennessee Titans, Rand Carthon's coming in after a 7-straight loss season, you know, some bad contracts, some aging players. He has to now fix some of the mistakes that John Robinson made before he can really make a lot of his big decisions. And even with the draft capital, I mean, we saw this year that not having draft capital because of some of the moves that were made, such as the Julio Jones, such as the getting Dennis Daly from Carolina, those impacted him right now. So he right now is trying to fix all of this. So from his perspective, I don't blame him for looking at Kevin's contract and kind of raising his ears. I don't know if I would have gone right to, hey, will you take a pay cut just because of what he is to this team? But I think he plays out his contract, and I think I could see maybe them being like, hey, if he is still playing at the level he's playing at, hey, here's a one-year deal for X amount of money, or where are you at in your career right now? Because, of course, he's going to want to retire here. He's going to want to retire a Titan. But I think we can put to bed the him getting traded, him not being on this team this year, him being released. He will be on this team this year. I feel very confident in saying that. I do think he'll play out the 2 years on his contract. But then 2025, I mean, I do think this team's going to look a lot different. But I think for now, him getting on busing with the boys, having a candid conversation, really addressing pretty much everything, and him even saying, you know, I just felt like I needed to stay quiet for a bit. And that's fine.
Yeah, and he played it the right way. He played it the right way, and I think, you know, as much as we would love to sit in a press conference and hear him say all the things that he said, that was the busing with the boys was the right setting for him because he's with two guys that get it.
They get it.
And they got his back. They're not going to put him in a position where it makes him look bad. I think every way he answered those questions were perfect. And so,
and he has a relationship with
them. Yeah. And like Taylor, essentially, you know, Taylor for sure gets it because, you know, he just got cut.
Look at what just happened.
Right.
Yeah. And I think the setting too, Chase, is really important, right? When he was standing at the podium just a couple weeks ago when he spoke to the media for the first time during minicamp, it's very much like, did you ask to be traded? Did they ask you for a pay cut? It's very much a setting of being thrown questions left and right, being thrown at you the same questions over and over again in different using different words to get him to say something. Whereas this setting, he could actually, you know, tell his side of the story where he felt like it wasn't being directed in any which way, but he could just say, you know, hey, this is what happened. I think we're on good terms now. I'm not going to lie. I was offended. Who wouldn't be offended? Think about you, whoever's listening right now. Whatever your job is, think about if you did everything right. You know, you got up early, you got to work on time, you did everything you were supposed to do, you did more than you were supposed to do, you led by example, and they asked you for a pay cut.
Right.
You would be annoyed too.
Uh-huh.
So everything he's feeling, like he said, it's warranted. It is. But I think that now you can kind of put the Band-Aid on it, and this will die down as training camp is a couple weeks away.
Yeah, I think so too. And now that it's out, I mean, I'm sure somebody's going to ask him about it.
Sure.
But now that it's out, you know, he can move on and he can focus, and the Titans can move on and they can focus on the season as, you know, training camp. We're about a month away, you
it's
know,
wild
when
to
everything
say.
gets underway. But I'm glad that he did that interview. I'm glad that he got some of those things out there and that now you have time for it to kind of settle and think about it, and then everybody moves on.
I agree, Chase. We actually just got an interesting text regarding this whole situation from Chris on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You want to text in, call in 615-737-1025. So Chris said, how does a team handle a situation like this? Does Kevin have to clear it with the team to be available for the podcast interview, or is he free to do it without having to go through channels members of the media would? Then after that, when he comes back in the building with all of this out there, do Vrabel and the GM sit down to discuss further? Are things awkward? I think that's a very good question from Chris. And it can help us kind of give some insight on it. So he doesn't have to clear it with anybody.
I don't think so, yeah.
No. You know, when we talk about college athletes, and it's getting a little bit more lenient with NIL and having so much player empowerment and them essentially being their own brands. But I know that, you know, prior to all NIL stuff, you would have to clear that for college athletes. But once you get to the professional level, I mean, if they know you, if they want to do an interview with you, they're free to do that.
Yeah, like, you know, this is my favorite phrase, inside baseball a little bit, but, you know, it is proper to go through the right channel.
Yes.
So for our purposes, if we wanted to get Kevin on the show, we would reach out to Titans PR, whether it's Robbie Bourne or Dwight Spradlin, and reach out to them and ask for an interview.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you build relationships and you get to know people and you get numbers and things like that. And so, you know, there are times where you could go directly to the player and the player would probably grant you the request and do it all on your own, especially right now, especially when you're in the off season.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there's a protocol that you need to go through. And so, but for this, it's different because that's two of his former
teammates.
They're
friends. Yeah, they're friends, they're teammates. It's a unique situation. I know Derek went on a couple weeks ago before the offseason workout started, but you know, for this situation, I would assume, and I don't know, but I would assume it's Taylor Lewan or Will Compton texting Kevin Byard and saying, hey,
you
want to address all of this?
Or he might have gone to them and go, hey, I want to address this.
Hey, I want to do it on here. I think that's kind of different just because, yes, they are in the media, but I wouldn't consider Taylor Lewan and Will Compton media members who cover the team.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like they do a podcast and they're part of it now, but
they don't cover.
They're
the
not
Titans.
Traditional media. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. They're not traditional journalists.
Like, I don't see Taylor Lewan and Will Compton going to Titans practice asking Vrabel questions, even though that
should.
Would be really funny
they
if they
should.
Did.
That actually would be a great bit. If they just went there and had like little note cards and dressed like maybe Joe Rexroad, maybe put a bucket hat on or Glennon or any of them and just kind of started taking notes.
Oh, that could actually.
If anybody knows them or any of them somehow are listening, you
that
should do that.
Really,
that would be funny.
That would actually be really, really
just
funny.
Just be very serious.
Coming
Vrabel,
up,
I want to ask you a question.
Hey, Vrabes. Taylor from Bussin' with the Boys. Coming up next, we will get back into the NHL draft as we are live today. At Bridgestone Arena, the first round is tonight. How active will the Predators be? And I have an interesting free agent target that I want to throw out there. We'll do that next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tonight at 6, draft night in Smashville. Robbie Stanley, Willie Donick, Max Herz, and yours truly will be here at Bridgestone Arena for the 2023 NHL Draft. Our coverage presented by International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 429, Electronic Express, Oil, Fire, Whiskey, and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Appreciate them for coming on board with us. As what is going to happen? The rumors have started. We've seen some moves across the NHL. The biggest move the Predators have made to this point is last weekend when they traded Ryan Johansson to Colorado. And that leads me into this. Obviously, got to take care of the draft tonight, and then free agency opens on Saturday. There's a guy that I believe is now going to be available, and ironically, he played for Colorado. JT Compher is someone I would be interested in if I'm Barry Trotz and the Nashville Predators. His last contract, he was on a four-year, $14 million deal. His annual average was $3.5 million. Now, he's probably going to, you know, get a little bit of a bump. But if you could get him for $4.5-$5 per, I'd do it.
He's young, too. He's only 28 years old.
Yep.
As you mentioned, you know, he's a guy. I mean, just kind of looking at what he's gotten paid over the years, get a little bit more. But he started off, you know, under $1 million in 2016. And you mentioned that. The 2.7 cap hit this past year, about $3 million this year. But, yeah, I mean, if he's a guy, too, that you feel like can add to this core, but for maybe a short term, I mean, how long do you think – like, are you saying 2 years, $5 million per?
Yeah, I mean, two or three probably is what I would go for. Now, I know, you know, you got a balance of – You've cleared a roster spot for one of these young players. I mean, they could not do anything and go out with this team, like the team that's currently constructed.
Sure.
But I do think Barry's going to try and balance it of, you know, planning for the future and still kind of being, you know, competitive in the now. He can play center. He can play right wing. So, and he's a two-way player. He's a Barry Trotz type player. He was he's a two-way player. So, I could see him being a fit, and I don't think they're going to break the bank in free agency, and they're not going to be in this. And Compher may be gone. I mean, he may go on the first wave, but he's not going to. Trotz is not going to overpay for anybody. He's just a name that really intrigues me because I think he fits what Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette are trying to build here.
Yeah, and I just kind of did like a quick quick Google search. And, you know, this was an article on the Athletic from this past December just about how, you know, he's taken a significant step when it comes to producing. And essentially the article is, you know, he's going to not have a pay day, but get a bump in pay playing about 21 minutes a game, averaging about that much. for Colorado. And I mean, that Colorado team too, I know that they were, you know, had some injuries this past year, but I mean, you still look at that roster. I mean, they just won the Stanley Cup last year. And for him to be able to, you know, gain minutes and be able to get out there and get ice time when some of those guys were injured, but also at the same time show that he's been able to produce while he's out there, I think that that is obviously very promising. He had a stretch of 18 games where he had 15 points in them. That's something that you love to hear. So I like the thought. I like the type of player you mentioned. You feel like he's a Barry Trotz guy. He's a guy who can produce. He's still young. You're not breaking the bank to go and get him. But then I kind of ask the question, too, is it what is more so the sell?
Yeah.
Right? Right. You look at this team right now. They're young. You're not trying to win next year. I understand you still have your Saros, your Yossis, your Forsberg. But is it worth it to try to just maybe grab somebody for a short time just to kind of add to the roster? That's more of my question, right? Like, would it be worth it? Are you seriously right now just focusing on the future? You want to draft your young guys. You're not looking to spend a lot of draft capital unless or save it up until maybe next year a free agent comes available, a guy who you believe is a stud, a star, who you could add to this roster. That's kind of more of what I'm seeing. Like, are they even going to get a guy that maybe is just kind of a Band-Aid filler for the time being?
Well, I think that's exactly what he is, Michelle, because looking at this, too, I know sometimes he's known more as like a dual threat winger and a centerman. I mean, his career in faceoffs is right under 50%. So to me, that would be a selling point, saying, hey, you get to showcase who you are here in Nashville, and we could possibly do something special. And so that would be my sell to him personally if I'm approaching him. He also had 14 points in the power play last year. So he wasn't the biggest contributor, but 14 is not insignificant compared to what some of the other Predators did this year on the team.
So just something to kind of pay attention to. One thing that I wanted to mention, because this has gotten out, and I think this is awesome. But TSU, Tennessee State University, will become the first HBCU to offer ice hockey. They'll be making a formal announcement coming up a little bit later here at Bridgestone Arena. But really, really cool that they're going to have a ice hockey team, an ice hockey program. And obviously,
it's amazing.
It shows you the impact that the Predators have made on this area in the last 25 years, that you have a historical black college adding hockey. And then also we've talked about the number of rinks. Barry Trotz referenced this it was Barry Trotz that referenced it the other day. You know, when they first got here, they had Centennial Sportsplex. That was it. Mm-hmm. And now you have all the Ford Ice Centers and what they built in
Clarksville
and everything. And there's more coming. Now you're going to have TSU adding a hockey program. Very, very cool and just awesome that the game has grown as much as it has here in the area.
Well, and to me, you know, being from the Northeast and having some pretty prominent collegiate hockey programs around me, you know, Union College in Schenectady, Quinnipiac is only a couple hours away from me, and having just the presence in the Northeast of hockey from the high school level, from the peewee level, being so strong. And then when I went to college in Kentucky and moved a little bit more south, you know, they had a not a beer league, it was intramural, right?
Sure.
But they'd play at like midnight and it wasn't as big and it wasn't a recognized sport at the university. And then coming to Nashville, seeing how they've been able to create such a huge fan base in the South where hockey just isn't as big. First off, I mean, you talk about the weather, right? I mean, it's warmer down here in the Northeast. It's always freezing. And, you know, the ability to have an outdoor rink probably from November to, in some cases, March or April out there, I think it's really awesome to see not only how this fan base has grown too, but adding a collegiate team to an HBCU right around the corner here, having the Predators here, having all of these rinks that they have made, like you said, the Ford Ice Center, you know, out in Clarksville. The sport is expanding, and, you know, you talk about geography-wise, like, it is coming down to the South, and to see a college program get a team, I think it's awesome. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, it's just another cool thing to add to all the festivities that are going on here at Bridgestone Arena today. I mean, look, it's only 10:40 in the morning. the draft doesn't actually kick off till 6. Now, there's going to be a lot of coverage starting you know, throughout the day. I haven't walked out there yet to look at it, but you know, the NHL Network is here. ESPN will have the coverage. TNT has a presence. I mean, there's so many Sportsnet from
Charles
Canada.
Charles Barkley, are you here?
Chuck, I have not seen Chuck, but that would be cool. I mean, where we are in the Jack Daniel's Barrel House is where the Stanley Cup will be. And as Nick pointed out earlier, there are several cups, but they're only going to have one of them.
Well, we all just believe
here.
That there's only one.
I believe that multiple cups have had beer in them.
Do you? Oh, 100%. Also, this is just totally off on a tangent, but since we're talking about the cup.
We do those.
Yeah, it's okay. It's the last show. We're wild today. Do you remember a couple weeks ago when was somebody from the Panthers? They touched the cup, right?
No, they touched the
You're talking about when they win the Eastern Conference final.
Touched the Eastern.
Oh, they touched the
Clarence Campbell
listen.
And yeah.
They didn't win.
No. No, the tradition is the only
You had a rant I think on that.
The only trophy you touch in hockey is the Stanley Cup. That's okay. Yeah, and like I don't care.
No, but I just think it's funny because we talked about it, and I'm on the same page as you. I don't think it matters.
Right.
I understand if you have the super – sure, if you want it, that's fine. But, you know, then fans taking it to the next level of – and listen, I am all for superstitions, but I really don't think it matters, but just the irony of then Vegas won.
So when
– sorry to bring it up.
When Phil Pritchard, the keeper of the cup, brought the Stanley Cup to our station about 5 years ago, it was on display and
sure.
everything. And I said, can I touch it? And he goes, yeah, you can touch it. And I go, can I kiss it? No. Can I lick it? No.
Like, first off, why and why again, Chase?
Because why not? It's different. Can I drink a beer out of it?
No. God, please, no.
I wanted to eat a bowl of cereal out of it.
That would be elite.
That would be awesome.
That would be elite. I would do that.
The time has come. Coming up next, we say our goodbyes to Michelle, her last segment with us here on 102.5 The Game. We do that coming up. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. She is Michelle Knezovic, Chase McCabe, Nick Keyser, back on the ones and twos at the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. And we have reached that point that we've all been dreading. It's bittersweet because... What is the closing time? The song that says
oh
with
gosh, why you gotta do that?
With every... new beginning is some other beginning's end, and that's where we're at. And, you know, you are going to do amazing things in your life and in your career, but we will be watching from afar. So Michelle's last segment, a lot of texts have been coming in. Well wishes to you, and I know you've been trying to respond to all of them.
Yes, I'm trying. I think I'm doing a good job. I think I've got everybody. I'm up to date on it, but... Just very grateful, you know, seeing our listeners.
Yeah.
You know, we kid with you fans left and right, you know, on your hot sports takes or your crazy fandom. But, you know, to see the outwarming support and just kindness to me these last couple of weeks, just since I announced that I was leaving and everybody at our station, of course, just very, very thankful. And I told you that I realized this morning, which is just – it's crazy, you know, my Snapchat memories, I was looking at them, and exactly 2 years ago today, I interviewed at 102.5 The Game, which is wild.
Yeah, no, and it's awesome. I know you'll have a few things you want to say. I have a few things I want to say, but the reporter has prepared something.
Oh, gosh, here it
for
goes.
You. He's put a lot of work into this, and so, Nick, take it away.
Michelle, right out of the gates when you first joined 102.5 The Game back on July 13th, 2021, it was Pecorine who announced his retirement, and then your full circle moment came just almost a year later as you were hosting your own radio show on the weekend talking about the Philip Forsberg contract. But I want to take you back for a second to your very first time on the air at 102.5 The Game.
Today's a big day here on the show.
Yeah.
Not only is Joe Rexroad back, which is, I believe, worthy of celebration all by itself, but it's the first day of a new era here on the show as well. We are joined by Michelle Knezovic today, her first day here with 102.5 The Game. Welcome to the show, Michelle. We appreciate it. Fourth game in here as
She's
well.
Clapping.
She's clapping.
Say hello, Michelle.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Absolutely.
Welcome
hello,
to Michelle.
The show. Ryan Porth back in here with us today. Porth's got some product in his hair. He's looking awesome today.
And then just a week later, as if it wasn't enough already, Robbie and Joe had to chime in on you sticking around.
Michelle, how are we doing? What's going on? You're back for week two. We didn't scare you off. That's good.
Week two. I'm excited, guys. Had a nice weekend, even though my sons lost.
Yeah.
That was tragic on Saturday.
Yeah.
But excited for the week.
I love how they're her sons now. She's just adopted them.
I'm the owner of the team.
It may have all started with Robbie and Joe in the early mornings, but Michelle, you have grown so much as a reporter and a producer. You've gone to so many Titans games and Predators games and countless other events, but most importantly, you've developed some of the best relationships you'll ever have in your life here at 102.5 The Game and in Nashville, even outside of the radio station. So, with that being said, I don't want you to leave today without hearing from some of the most important people in your life.
Michelle, can't believe it is your last day here at 102.5 The Game, doing the weekend show, doing Titans games, me filling in for Chase on your all show on the weekday has always been a blessing to me. You've always been a great friend. You've been a great co-worker, and I'm going to miss all the times that we get to work together. So best of luck to you on whatever is next. I know you're going to kill it wherever you end up going.
Michelle, I hate to see you leave Nashville so soon. From the early mornings as your intern, with occasional coffee spills and good laughs, to eventually producing you and Junie's weekend show, it's been a fun time and an absolute pleasure getting to work with you this past year. Wishing you nothing but the best.
Hey, Michelle, this is Elijah from Campbell and Knezovic. Heard this was your last week over at 102.5 The Game, and I just wanted to let you know that it was an absolute pleasure getting to work with you and getting to see the growth that the show Robbie and Rexrode made under your direction, and had a ton of fun hosting the weekend show with you, and I just know that you're going to do great things wherever. Don't be a stranger, and best of luck.
I am so sad to see Michelle leave the Nashville market, because she came in, and even though she didn't hide her Kentucky fandom as much as I might have liked, she's an absolute pro and a pleasure to have worked with, and I can't wait to see where she goes from here, and only wish her the very best.
Hey, Michelle, it's your dear friend Ryan from Chicago here. I just wanted to quickly congratulate you on a very successful 2 years at 102.5 The Game and Cromwell Media, where you were able to do some absolutely incredible things, and you're leaving it now better than how you found it. I'm excited to continue to watch you grow and watch you succeed, and I'm proud of you always. So, go Cats, roll wave, and bear down, all those things. I will see you in the Big Easy.
Michelle, we love you. It's been so much fun getting to work with you every day. We appreciate your hard work. You're really talented. You're going to go far in this business, and we wish you the best moving forward. Good luck in New Orleans. Eat some gumbo for me while we're down there, and we'll see you soon.
So, in less than 2 years in Nashville, Michelle, you produced a radio show, hosted two radio shows, helped run a radio station, and became a college professor.
Yeah, I didn't do that much stuff in like a 20-year span of my life. Also, Michelle, you made some lifelong friends, and we are going to miss you. The whole Cromwell Media family is going to miss you.
The Rexrode family is going to miss you.
Our listeners are going to miss you. Nashville is going to miss you. And you know who else is going to miss you?
The Titans! We love you, Michelle.
Good luck in New Orleans.
Well done, Nick Kieser, putting that together.
Whoa, you need anything for like to make somebody cry? Wow, Nick Kieser, that was phenomenal.
You're welcome.
That was Caroline Rexrode.
Oh, well,
with Joe, obviously.
Which was completely off script, by the way. I did not ask one Joseph Rexrode to do that. So
he
sent that, and I thought that was the best one.
That was perfect. That was a great way to end it. So just so if you're watching on the stream, I'm not looking at Michelle right now. I'm trying to like be the one that keeps this together. But Nick wanted to do something, and when he asked me, he said, "Do you want to be a part of it?" I said, "Well, I'm going to be with her live, so yeah. I want to say what I wanted to say." You know, 2 years ago today, ironically, and I did
so
not
weird.
Realize that was today, she interviewed here at 102.5, 106.3 The Game, and Derek Mason and Caroline Fenton are alongside as well. And the thing in this business, and I try and tell people, is you have to create your own opportunities. And you may be hired to do a specific job, but only you can decide if that's the job if you're just going to do that job. And there are a lot of people that they do the job they're hired to do, and they do it well, and they have long careers. But if you really want to get to where you want to go and you want to follow your dreams, you have to make your own opportunities. And Michelle has been a prime example of that. She was hired to be a producer of the morning show. And I always tell people things change daily in this business. You never know what might happen. And, you know, as the transition happened with Ryan Porth, because I'll tell everybody, I'll be 100% honest. When Ryan said, hey, this is Michelle, she's, you know, applied to do this job, it was her in front of a camera or like standing like with a microphone. I'm like, dude, she doesn't want to be a producer. She wants to be on camera. What are you talking about? But I immediately thought like, okay, well, you know, let's see where this goes. And when I took over as program director, you know, I had that conversation of, so what do you want to be when you grow up? And we've had a lot of those talks, and it evolved into she was doing more on the air. She was doing the weekend show with Elijah and then Junie and then herself and like all those things. And, you know, when I kind of decided that, hey, I needed to do a 2-hour show, I wanted somebody to hang out with, and she was my first thought. And she has taken this, and she has run with it, and she has made this made her opportunity. And you've done a fantastic job. And again, I'm trying not to look at you. You're going to continue to do a fantastic job.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you. You have you've become a friend, and you will remain a friend even in New Orleans. And yes. Ryan from Chicago, your friend.
boyfriend.
Your boyfriend. For those of you that haven't put all that together, that is where she's going. But I know your career is going to take off even more. And we hate to see you go, but we're also proud of you and we love you.
Well, and first off, I Nick, that was just a phenomenal. Everybody who has, you know, wished me well. I need to keep that and send that to my mom because I know she's listening. But just thank you to everybody. Caroline was actually the first person I met, you know, at this station, you know, meeting Derek, you, Porth, Robbie, Joe, you know, Willie, Jared, like the list goes on and on. Ian, Nick.
Even Jared.
Everybody welcoming me in, you know, having no sports talk radio experience and just – living and figuring it out and moving to Nashville without a job and basically just knocking on the door exactly 2 years ago today. I could not be more thankful for everyone, for everybody who texts in every day, the kind words everybody said. And now I'm doing the same thing 2 years later, moving to a city without a job. You can call me crazy, but going to figure it out. I appreciate the support, the loving words. And I don't even really know what to say now because I'm just full of emotions, but I just think thankful is something that can just go across the board for every single aspect of this. And yeah, if you're watching the stream, I am majorly blushing.
She's holding it together. She's actually holding it together better than I thought she might. So
very thankful. Thankful for this. Thankful for everybody I've met. And listen, Louisiana gets a lot of bad weather. So just know that this will be my destination city whenever we need to evacuate.
Caroline can give you some
and head up here.
Notes on that.
And any Titans fans that will be in New Orleans for week one, reach out on social media. If you're having a tailgate and all that stuff, stop by. And yeah, Nashville will always hold such a special place in my heart. I came here in 2018 for the first time for a sports reporting workshop, and Teresa Walker spoke, and Kayla Anderson, and Corey Curtis, and so many people who work in this industry. And I said, I want to work here. I want to live in Nashville. And 2 years ago, and 2 years went by quick, and could not be more thankful for this city and for everything. And then I come back. I mean, there's going to be a new stadium. There's going to be so much new stuff.
You got to come visit more.
Oh, I will. And I know I have a lot of couches that I can stay on. So just very thankful for this opportunity. Sad to leave, but I can be a crazy fan now, a crazy Kentucky fan who calls when they play the Vols. So
there you go. And you will.
Yes, I will.
Sure. This show will be here for the draft tomorrow, and then I'm going to take a vacation. So it's going to take a little break for about a week. But then we will announce what all is going to be happening with that. Michelle, take us home.
Oh, this is okay. Well, for signing off for the last time for 102.5, 106.3, The Game, Michelle Knezovic, Chase McCabe, it's been a pleasure. I love you, Nashville.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save